Arise, our Father, who art in shootouts, Williams be thy name, thy will be done, on ice as it is in Raleigh. Give us this day our overtime win.
So, Mike, when you had that accent in mind, were you thinking more like stereotypical Southern preacher, or were you thinking Mayor Quimby?
I was thinking stereotypical preacher Quimby.
Okay.
I mean, what folks have come to this podcast for years, Derek, if you've learned anything about this podcast over the years, it's folks have come here for the quality impressions that we do.
Oh, my God.
I mean, folks have been here for the impression, the great Olympics impression.
Marcel Abou.
Marcel Abou. You know, there's been many impressions that I have done horribly over the years.
Better cheaters never win beverage. You pick a beer review that we did from our longtime sponsors at Bottle Mix, or milk in a bag.
I will not choose milk in a bag.
Come on. What the hell?
Do you know how many... I had even more Jesus from Bottle Mix, for God's sake.
You did.
We started off this podcast with a call to worship the Lord Daddy's prayer, Justin Williams, and you want me to take Jesus's name in vain? Even more Jesus.
There's a big difference between calling someone dad and calling someone daddy. I just have to point that out.
You know what? If Justin Williams were here, I'd call them both and I'd let him choose.
Okay.
You know, I'm...
For those who don't have the benefit of video, which is literally everyone listening to this podcast, the look in Mike's eyes when he told me that, I was less than comfortable.
It was gleaming.
It was.
It was a solid gleam. Folks, welcome to a long-awaited, for maybe some of you, for a lot of you, just another edition. This is Cheaters Never Win. Thank you guys for joining us. Tonight's a somewhat special edition, I guess. I guess we could go ahead and get into that now. I mean, Derek, it's been a little bit of time since we've done a podcast. This is our first podcast of the decade.
I looked the other day, the last time that you and I were on a podcast, because the last podcast that 328 put out, Pat stepped in and co-hosted and did a phenomenal job. Thank you to Pat for stepping in for me. The last podcast that you and I did together was November 9th.
Yeah, that's
it. Has been more than 2 months since you and I were together in audio form.
Yeah, and I agree that it's been too long since you and I have been here together at the worldwide headquarters. And folks, that is one of the reasons, for those of you who may have seen on Twitter, we are announcing this as the final episode of Cheaters Never Win. Derek, we're going to talk hockey tonight. We got some great guests, but let's go ahead and maybe just take a few minutes, to maybe share a little bit about kind of how we got here. God, this podcast has been going on for what now? I mean, as it sits right now, until we hand over the title, we are the reigning, defending, undefeated podcast champions of Raleigh. But tonight, that reign comes to an end. For a myriad of reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those of you who have sent us messages, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you have, or seen us in person and asked, like, hey, where's the podcast? I think, Mike, I don't want to speak for you, but I think there was some burnout. The playoffs were so wonderful, and there was so much joy, and the crowds were tremendous. But at that point, like, we realized how much work it is. And between that and we both have young children, we both have full-time jobs, it's the demands of this versus the demands of what pays our mortgages and our other things. It was hard to do both justice. And, you know, we've done this for a number of years. We started the Twitter account 8 years ago. I think it was after a game. We were back at my house and we were just like, what the hell? And our first tweet ever was "Mga."
Yes.
For Mo must go again. We were ready for him to be gone. And that's why, you know, tonight, before we play the Winnipeg Jets with Paul Maurice behind the bench, we're putting out this last podcast. But we did that tweet 8 years ago. We started up a podcast largely thanks to Jeff Merrick and Greg Wyshynski and Jeff Merrick especially for just saying, if there's something you're passionate about, write about it, talk about it. And thanks to Mike, we were able to get him on the podcast tonight to thank him for that inspiration. And we started this podcast 6 years ago, not knowing what the hell we were doing. And there's a lot of people, often ourselves included, who think you guys still don't know what the hell you're doing. But just things change in life. There's a season for everything. And we want to go out while we still enjoy this versus it becoming an albatross.
Yeah. And you know what, Derek? It's been there was a part of us that felt like we did our best to carry the Carolina Hurricanes flag during some less than stellar years. I would call that every year except last year. but there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that went into that. And, you know, this little thing that you and I started on a whim one day that grew into, you know, we joke about the 328 Empire, but it's really grown into this extended family of folks who we'll have on the podcast a little bit later tonight. Ultimately, though, it's been about the friends we've made through this podcast.
Absolutely.
And everything, all the people we've had a chance to talk to every single week when we were doing this on a weekly basis. And we've said this a lot of time. It was a chance for two good buddies to get together and drink a beer and talk hockey every single week. But again, things change. Kids come along and wives and families. And it just gets to be a lot. You know, we were really excited when we had 500 Twitter followers, and all of a sudden you've got 7,000 Twitter followers, and people are expecting content and things and stuff and such. And it just became a lot of stuff, and it wasn't fair to you, our listeners. It wasn't fair to the Caniacs, but maybe more importantly, it wasn't fair to what we feel are the next group of folks who are ready to carry that flag. There is a lot better coverage of this team than there's ever been. Sarah Sivian's mm-hmm. out there. Local radio guys, whether you feel good about them or not, are doing a lot more coverage of Carolina Hurricanes. You've got Mike Maniscalco, who was once the guy who just took everybody's bad calls after the game.
Ours included.
Exactly. And you've got folks like Sarah Sivian and Corey Lavalette and, hell, Luke DeCock still floating around. So there are so many people here now covering this team, and then you throw in all of the other fan blogs that are out there. You throw in all of the other podcasts are out there. There's Redvolution Rampage and Locked on Canes and Canes Cast and some that have come and gone over the years. But ultimately, you know, there's a lot of Canes stuff out there. Canes Twitter has grown into something more, I think, than maybe we ever thought it would. And for that, we are thankful. But we feel like it's just time to maybe take a step back, let some other folks, you know, do what they do best. And we're going to enjoy kind of watching all of this stuff flourish. We're going to enjoy listening to everybody else's podcast. And we're really going to enjoy just literally, I mean, this in the nicest way, just going to games and not having to coordinate four sponsors and 600 people at a tailgate with three media personalities coming by and all of that things, and trying to figure out, did my boss see me and what stage of drinking was I in when Mark Armstrong or Bridget Condon came by to actually interview us for the opening night.
Hey,
tailgate.
Saw you on the news, Mike. Your pupils looked a little different than when you left the office.
I know. So yeah, it's but folks, this podcast is about the Carolina Hurricanes. We want to talk a little bit about the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. We're going to reminisce a little bit tonight. But Derek, we can't do anything if you don't hit that damn X button.
Oh, snap. Thwap.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, the final edition of Cheaters Never Win. My name's Mike, and that's Derek over there, I think, trying to do Europe. On tonight's episode of the podcast, we have some of the best of the best. Mike Maniscalco from Fox Sports Carolinas, Jeff Merrick from Rogers Sportsnet, Sean Leahy from NBC Sports, and a roundtable of all of the 328ers who could join us tonight. It's not inclusive of everybody, but it was a good conversation. So, Derek, this is it.
Yep,
Justin Williams scored a shootout goal last night, 2-1 game against the Islanders. A much, much needed win on home ice.
So when the schedule came out before the season and I doled out my season tickets, I was going, okay, I'd love to bring the wife and kid to a game this year. I was like, oh, a Sunday, 5 o'clock. That doesn't interfere with nap time, doesn't interfere with bedtime. But again, like we talked about in the open, life gets in the way sometimes. So I sold those tickets. My wife and I got home, daughter's asleep, this and that. I was like, you know what? I want to throw the game on. I want to watch overtime. And my wife and I watched the last minute of overtime together. We watched the shootout together. And we could feel the nerves building up. And this is really the first Canes hockey we'd watched together since the playoffs. And when Justin Williams went out there, or before he even went out there, when there was a goal in the shootout, we were high-fiving, it was great. And then when Williams scored, like, there was some dust in the room. I don't know who came in and started cutting onions. It was rude as hell of them. If you're listening and you're the one who did that, stop it. But we got a little misty. It was just like perfect storytelling. And the way things just work sometimes, it was truly wonderful. So I know I enjoyed the hell out of that. It's great to see Williams back. It's weird to see him with short hair, but I love what he's bringing back to this team.
Yeah, it's only one game in, but you've got to be you've got to walk away from last night's game with a positive feeling in your stomach, and maybe even I also feel like there was a point left on the table. I mean, that was a game where we needed to secure 2 points in regulation to draw even closer to the Islanders, who are in a little bit of a skid themselves. But as we sit here today in the latter half of January, the Carolina Hurricanes are currently in the second wild card position, only 1 point currently above the line in the playoffs, with Dougie Hamilton having gone down this past week in Columbus. The Canes are in a little bit of a tough spot, Derek. So the Canes have been in the playoff picture virtually all season.
Well, hell, we started out the season 6-0 or something like that.
Right, 5-0 and best start in team history and setting all sorts of records early on. And, you know, John Forslund said something interesting over on the David Glenn show today. He said, you know, while the Dougie Hamilton injury is going to dramatically affect this team, he thinks one of the positive offshoots of it could be that this team was maybe living a little fat off of the offensive production of the defensemen. And maybe with Dougie gone, maybe there is going to be a recommitment to defense first on the back end, and maybe a bit of a tightening down on some of the strategies there. So, you know, based upon obviously what John Forslund said, that's right. But it's going to be interesting to see how does that affect maybe some of the guys in the bottom half of this back six. I'm thinking the Jake Gardner, the TVRs, and the Hayden Fleury. Does that maybe settle them down a little bit so that way they don't feel so much pressure to keep up with the likes of Dougie Hamilton, to where they feel a little bit more comfortable in their own skin and in the quote-unquote in the defenseman's room?
Yeah, I really like that idea, especially when it comes to Jake Gardner, because, you know, when he signed here before we traded Faulk, we're thinking there's some redundancies there. And at that time, Faulk was the guy getting those PP1 minutes. And now maybe we see Jake Gardner over time eat into more of those first power play unit defenseman minutes. And to, you know, the point that John Forslund made that you then explained to me because I didn't listen to the show today, maybe Jake Gardner can settle down and can do the things that helped him put up such big numbers in Toronto, that has people like Pat Clark, who we talk to later and has been perhaps the best hockey insight guy that we have among our circle, be a fan of Jake Gardner. So I think there could be some positives out of it. Obviously, overall, it's going to be hard to offset the production and what Dougie brings to the team, but maybe it's not all bad.
Well, I tell you what, let's go to someone who maybe has slightly better analysis of this than us. Let's go to our first guest of the evening, Fox Sports Carolina's own Mike Maniscalco.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back on to the podcast. One of our favorites. Is he everyone else's favorite?
He's certainly top 38.
I mean, Mike, if like, first question, if you had to rank yourself, actually, you know what, Derek? I'm going to go, since this is a very special podcast, Mike, I'm going to give you a question here that might be the most famously bombed question in the history of Cheaters Never Win. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Mike Bennett, for those of you who don't know who we're talking to, this is the one, the only Mike Maniscalco, who is the host every night on your pregame show, Hurricanes Live, before every Carolina Hurricanes game, on Fox Sports Carolinas, on the bench with the three stars, or with the number one star after the three stars after the game. He is much beloved here in Raleigh. First question from this, Mike. F, Mary, kill, John, Tripp, Shane. Oh, I asked this because, as Mike, as you know, this is the last ever Cheaters Never Win. And those who may have forgotten this, John Forslund famously, we asked him in a pregame, in a pre-interview prep, if we could ask him that. And he said, absolutely, it's fun. And then when we asked him that, absolutely 100% hung us out to dry and left us agog. So,
which in retrospect was the right thing for him to do.
Absolutely. He's a professional. We're amateurs, as we've learned tonight. So, Mike, F, Mary, kill, Shane, John, Tripp.
Whatever John Forslund said, that is my answer right now.
You beautiful bastard, Mike. Also, much like John, that was indeed the right answer, even if we didn't know it. Since we're going to kind of go all over the place tonight, Mike talked about this in his long-winded introduction of you. He mentioned how you sit on the bench and talk to, it's usually the first star. I don't know if it always is, but one of the things that Canes fans have started doing is chanting the player's name during that segment so much that sometimes you have to stop that interview and just kind of let them soak that in. How loud is it for you down there, and what has that experience become as that kind of noise and enthusiasm has just grown organically over time?
Well, to answer the first part, how loud it is, Derek, I can't hear what the answers are from the player sitting right next to me, you know, no matter what it is. So it gets that loud, and it still raises the goosebumps. You know, it's one of those things where you get the chills, and it's such a special thing that you guys have been through this for so long, for the fans to reconnect with this team the way that they have the past season and a half. You know, it's a moment for the players to drink it in, and it's a moment for the fans. So it's almost hard to describe when you're in the moment, but it's the moment for the players and the fan, and you just let them, like you said, soak it in and go with it. But it's become one of the best parts of my job, guys. It's not even close when I try to rank the things that are magical that have happened. That's number one, if it isn't by a runaway.
Well, Mike, we know we certainly love it, and the fan base has absolutely reconnected. The team seems to have reconnected with the city, and there was a guy who has famously not reconnected with cities in the past, and Dougie Hamilton has obviously not only found a home with the Carolina Hurricanes, but really seems to have found a soft spot in the places of many of the Caniacs. And after just a tragic injury out in Columbus earlier this week, there's a lot of movement and shuffling that's going around in the lineup. So I'd like to get, just from a firsthand perspective, what's your view on the impact that Dougie Hamilton's absence is creating within this team? And is there a player that's on the roster or down in Charlotte who's going to have to fill that? Or do we think maybe Don Waddell's looking a little bit more astutely at the trade deadline than he was 1 week ago today?
Well, honestly, Mike, I don't think you can replace what Dougie Hamilton was bringing to the Canes lineup this year. I just don't think that there's one guy that you look at and say he's going to do what Dougie Hamilton was doing. And because the offensive numbers were great on their own, but he was really rounding into that complete defenseman. And he was an all-star pick, well-deserving of it. And that's the other part of this injury, that you look at it and it just breaks your heart. He wanted to be in the all-star game. He was excited to represent the Carolina Hurricanes in that event. And, you know, he's going to get to another one before his career is over. But this, for me, is a big opportunity for Hayden Fleury to show that he is an everyday NHL player. You know, this is a guy who is a top five NHL draft pick, and Now the opportunity is there for him to show the organization, nobody's going to take my spot now that I have the chance to do it. If they're going to dip down to Charlotte, clearly you can look at Jake Bean, who's an AHL All-Star this year, and I think he's tied for second in points and defensemen down in the American. But I think for Jake Bean to get a call up here and get that chance, the Canes will probably have to have a couple of things go sideways on them, or something else would have to happen to the blue line. But he would be the first guy that you would tip to out of Charlotte, and probably Chase Prisky. They like his game a lot, who they signed out of college this year. And I think we know how college defensemen can be. Sometimes they step right in and they're great, and we're seeing Cal McCarr do that. And Prisky's been very good for this Charlotte Checkers team. The other part of your question, I think everything's always on the table with the way that this front office and general manager Don Waddell and how they have been putting things together is always on the table. If it's the right price, if it's the right fit, if it's the right player, because this team values the assets now that are draft picks. They value the young players. And if it's somebody who's just a stopgap, I don't think they would look for that fix. But if there's a defenseman out there who's got some term on his contract who fits the way that this team wants to play, I think the organization is constantly looking for those kind of players and how they can fit them in and get them here. But the other part for Dougie, and let me give you one of my famous long-winded answers here, boys, but I'll try to make it quick. Being around him the way I have, fellas, I don't get where this label came from of Dougie Hamilton, and I really don't. Maybe it's Boston and those folks, and, you know, Calgary is hockey crazy, but this is a thoughtful young man who's a hell of a good hockey player who, maybe it's the room, maybe it's the coaching staff and the environment that's brought it out of him, but, you know, Rod Brindamore is a guy who wants everybody to be part of the team and pull on the rope, but Dougie Hamilton has been nothing but a model person for the Carolina Hurricanes. Note I didn't say player, I said person, because he's taken some of the young guys under his wing. He's just one of those guys who's engaging to be around, and I think maybe some people didn't get him. Well, that's on them. Dougie Hamilton is a guy who, in my brief time around him, I would put him on my team every single day of the week.
Yeah, that's awesome, and it kind of confirms what we've all thought about everything we've seen from Dougie and his time here. So since you talked about the guy who's unfortunately left the lineup due to injury, I want to ask you about the guy who, as of yesterday, was back in the lineup. And what I want to ask you on this is, what differences have you seen in the three seasons now that Justin Williams has been here? Season one, a different coaching regime where Williams was certainly disappointed that he was not part of the team leadership as far as having a letter on his sweater last year, taking that leadership role, and you saw the influence that he had on this team. And then this year being more outspoken about, this is not about me, this is about the team, and he wants to prop up the new generation of leaders. So what have you seen in those different seasons from Williams?
Oh, for me, I think you go back to that first year, and look, you never want to, you know, kick somebody when they're down, but how that was handled and how that was handled by the head coach at the time, Bill Peters, was a mistake. I mean, Justin Williams should have been, and I think he came to Carolina thinking he was going to be the captain or one of the guys with a letter on that team. And as that played out, I think it shook a couple of things. But you know what? It never shook Justin Williams' game or the person that he is. The guy that you see in those interviews, the guy, if you get a chance to sit down with him, he's like that all the time. There's no different face. There's no behind closed doors, different kind of personality. That's what makes him such a great leader. What you see is what you get. He knows what he does. He doesn't try to do anything more than that. He never gives anything less than 100%. So for me, and remember, I was here when he was, you know, around the first time before he got dealt. He's still the same guy, only I think there's a few more accolades. There's a few more people who get that he is so cool under pressure. But what he does for the room, what he does for his teammates and the players, guys, is he gives them confidence. You know, he keeps them calm. He gives them confidence that if we just do what we're supposed to do, we're going to win the game. And, you know, he's like Yoda. He's got all the information, and he can show you how to do it. You just have to listen to him. Of course, he doesn't speak weird. He speaks Canadian. But he does a great job in doing that. And, you know, he just gets it. He's one of those guys who understands that the value of the team, everybody coming together and everybody doing their part, and not, you know, somebody today, we just talked about the defenseman. He will go up to guys and say, look, you don't have to be Dougie Hamilton. You have to be, and then, you know, if it's Jacob Slavin, if Brett Tetcher, that's who you have to be. And if you do that, we'll be all right. And he's one of the best leaders I've been around. You know, he and Rod Brindamore are the two best sports leaders I have ever been around. Guys who know what to say, when to say it, how to say it. And I think that's something that's invaluable. You can't teach it. You maybe can learn it, but it's, I think, something that's born in you, and Justin Williams brings that. And you guys have seen it. This team's been so confident the last 2 years because they know if they do their job, they're going to have a chance to win again.
Mike, you talk about the last 2 years, leadership and changes. I was just sitting there yesterday aghast at the changes in what 12 months has done with our young adult son, Andrei Svechnikov. from where he was 10, 11, 12 minutes a game last December and you know, still trying to find his game, to at points yesterday just far and away being not only the best player on the ice, but having that leadership charge, and still with the you know, the every now and then youngster mishap, but you know, it seems like he learned a lot. You know, even from game to game, he was not hard on pucks in necessarily the Anaheim game that he was much better on last night. I'd love to get your take on, you know, kind of the personality of Andrei Svechnikov, and what is the ceiling for this kid?
He's a superstar. The ceiling is one of the five best players in the game. I mean, we're going to be talking about him the way that we talk about Alex Ovechkin, the way we talk about Sidney Crosby. I just believe that. We've seen the skill set, and it's through the roof. And to the points you were just talking about, Mike, I think we forget he's 19. You know, he still has so much learning to get to, you know, to be a little bit harder on the puck.
I remember. I get the charge on my credit card, and I'm like, Andre, please, you do not have to take the upgrade. I've got six more years of this.
I know. Well, I mean, if you can get the upgrade, go for it. That's what I say. You're the one who's giving him the credit card to do it. But, you know, Rod Brindamore was talking about it last year. It's when he finds out that he can do these things, you know, and when he was talking about these things, it's not just the Svech goal, the Michigan goal, but that he's fast enough to go down the left wing, look off the defenseman, and rip a shot that's going to beat the goalie glove high, you know, glove side high, or he can go far blocker. Last night, the goal that he scored against the Islanders, he broke the stick of the defenseman, and it still got through and got past Grice. I mean, he's the total package. And away from the ice, he's got a sneaky good personality, guys. He is, when I say that, you wouldn't expect it from a 19-year-old and, you know, a kid who grew up in Russia. And, yeah, he spent a couple of years here. Oh, my God, is he funny. I mean, he's got just a great sense of humor, and he gets it. He's a caring, caring young man. Cares about his teammates. It's not about him. It's about winning. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough, I get to be in the buildings, you know, hours before they open up the doors with folks. At PNC, he is on the ice at least 2 hours before game time, you know, just in his sweats. And he's out there stick handling, you know, working, firing pucks off of the boards, looking at angles. He's a student of the game. He is a bulldog when it comes to working out. Bill Berniston says he's never seen anything like Andrei Svechnikov at his age. So, you know, what is the ceiling? I'm not going to go Michael Jordan. The ceiling is the roof. There is no roof for Andrei Svechnikov and where he's going to end up.
Boy, I didn't hate that answer one bit.
Thank you. I could keep going, too. He's incredible. It's incredible, Derek.
We know you well enough that you could keep going on nearly any topic, Mike. Today, The Athletic put out their post about a poll of players around the league on myriad topics, from best official, worst official, so on and so forth, best player. Those are pretty stock. One that I was surprised to see the same person won again today was most underrated player in the league. And for the second year in a row, Alex Barkov won, which kind of feels like you can't win that twice in a row, but you get a different view of the game than we do from up in the stands. I'd like to get your vote for who would you say is the most underrated player in the NHL?
That's a great question. When you look at a lot of the players and what they do night in, night out, and Barkov, I think, is underrated because nobody talks about the Florida Panthers. But if you watch him, the guys in the league know how great he is. I'm still going to go. I'll give you the homer answer at first. I think Jacob Slavin is terribly underrated by the National Hockey League for his ability and what he does and what he is as a defenseman. Now, he doesn't put up the gaudy offensive numbers, and maybe that's why he gets overlooked. But, you know, look at guys like Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews. Their numbers when they've got to go up against somebody like Jacob Slavin every night. So that's one that you look at. And then if we're going to go underrated, you guys might roll your eyes at this one, but Patrice Bergeron with the Boston Bruins, he gets a lot of love and a lot of accolades, but we never talk about him like he's one of the best players in the game. He is the best two-way player in the National Hockey League. And I don't think that we ever hear him brought up in those conversations with Crosby, with McDavid, with all these guys who are out, you know, making their name now. Patrice Bergeron's been doing it forever at an unbelievable level. And I've never, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm reading the wrong stuff, guys. I've never seen his name be brought up in those conversations. So for me, I think Patrice Bergeron is just criminally underrated when we talk about the great players in the National Hockey League.
So Patrice Bergeron is this generation's Yuri Lehtinen.
You know, that's I think that Patrice is a little bit better than Yuri Lehtinen, and by a little, a lot, but along those lines, because like I mean, Michael and Derek, I'll ask you, how many times if we say, hey, if you're putting together a team, give me five players who you put on the team, and how many times do you hear Bergeron's name thrown on there? It's not, but he's one of those guys where you just look at what he does. He's part of the best line in the National Hockey League. He's the center for that line. And he's also the guy getting huge minutes every night against the other team's best, and he makes them look silly. And, you know, out west, there are a couple of guys who I think we don't pay enough attention to. We'll get a little bit more, you know, credit for what they do. I think Sean Monahan's really good. I don't think he's underrated. But, you know, as far as underrated, a guy who I would pay to watch and we don't talk enough about, and believe me, I don't want to give Boston credit for anything in my lifetime, guys, but I've got to give it to Bergeron.
No, I can't much disagree with you there. So let's move, Mike. This is going to be the last question from behind this microphone, and thank you for taking a solid 20 minutes out of your busy schedule of not only doing the Canes cast, but also doing Fox Sports Live and everything you do with the Hurricanes. So we very much appreciate, but as folks have now learned tonight, this will be the last episode of Cheaters Never Win, and it is very specifically timed because coming to the PNC Arena tonight is our most hated hockey individual of all time, and that is going to be the one, the only, the worst coach in Carolina Hurricanes history, not named Bill Peters, or maybe a couple other coaches, but we'll let that digress, is Paul Maurice. So I ask you this, Mike, in your sports fandom, I'm going to ask you to take off your journalistic hat. In your Spurts fandom, what
his
has been...
Spurts?
His Spurts fandom. What has been your...
I've had a lot of those in my year, in my years, just so you know.
What is your most just unrealistic, unapologetic, unneeded hatred of another sports coach in your sports fandom?
Oh man, we got another 20 minutes. Cause I mean, this list is long, and let's see, John Farrell, Boston Red Sox manager who lucked into a World Series. Alex Cora has now really jumped to the top of that list. Boston Red Sox manager who cheated his way to a title with the Houston Astros as a bench coach, and then lucked his way to a World Series title with the Boston Red Sox. So you guys getting a theme with this thing right now? There's a lot more that we can continue to run down the list of just coaches who absolutely have made my skin crawl with how they have run the game. But if I had to go with one guy, and one guy in particular, it's in the college ranks, and it's Urban Meyer. And you can take your pick from Florida or Ohio State, but he really honed his craft of it's your podcast, but I'm not going to say the word I'm thinking right
say
now.
It.
But the
it.
It ends with baggery, and the first part sounds like to the word douche, to an entire new level. And it's just one of those things where it goes to a great story. And when I say great, only Urban Meyer, who, when you sell your soul to Satan, really, you're just selling it to yourself, right, Urban? Isn't that what you did? You know, the whole family thing and whatnot. He's just, I'm going to calm down. I'm in a good place. I can't get my blood pressure up after what happened in this October.
It's okay.
And I'm not going to go there. But if my choice was to live with Urban Meyer or have to walk through Antarctica alone, naked, gentlemen, I hope a polar bear is waiting for me because I am not living with that guy.
Well, I appreciate that, Mike, and I'm glad that you respect Urban's time.
And oh, by the way, could I say that if anybody who is a fan of Ohio State sports and can sit there with a straight face and lecture you about coaching and ethics and morals, then you just have to look at that person and laugh heartily at them because they don't know the meaning of those words. As a matter of fact, one of their coaches didn't even know where to find the ethics and morals department of the NCAA on their own campus. So, I mean, you know, what am I to say or judge or wag a finger?
I can't think of anybody that you would discuss, and certainly not anybody who has co-hosted this podcast for several years and hated Urban Meyer until the day that he became Ohio State's coach. And suddenly I was like, boy, big fan of this guy. He wins 90% of his games, and much like
exactly.
all of college athletics, I'm willing to look the other way in favor of wins.
Well, it's a great line from Harry Doyle. He looks great in the Indians uniform, doesn't he? And then when he puts on another one, looks disgusting in that uniform, doesn't mm-hmm. he? So that's just about it, fellas.
Absolutely.
But let me thank you guys, if I can, and I know this is your show, but thank you guys for all that you've done. You have been just great ambassadors for hockey fandom in this area. And I don't know, when we talk about underrated, you guys are rated. Probably not high enough when all is said and done. But you guys have done so much for not just the Carolina Hurricanes and the Hurricanes fan base, but for hockey in this area. You're two also, I've gotten to know you throughout the years. You're two great guys. You do so much for the community, so much for your families. I'm just really happy I've gotten to know you. And you guys are part of the reason why I love what I do. You've made my life here very fun and interesting, and I'm glad I could be a small part of the Section 328 fandom over these years. And you guys are the best, and you will be sorely, sorely missed, at least in podcast form. But I know that you will be around the arena, and that will make me smile.
Well, Mike, we do appreciate it, sir. We are very grateful and thankful to have been able to make good friends like you and many throughout the years. We are glad that you are here in your seat where you damn well belong. One volleyball less than you were at the beginning of the season. But damn it, one way or the other, man, we love you behind the mic. And we thank you for that. And you know, from us to you, man, let's go scare some people in the playoffs again this year.
And let us celebrate.
Oh, I think that'll happen.
Mike, let us celebrate together with not one, but two hot dogs in a bun.
Mm. Oh,
double dogs.
You haven't lived,
Derek
Pressler. you have not lived until you had a double dog. However, I don't want to name names, but if we're going out, they do not serve hot dogs to the press anymore. And it was not because of me and the double dog or the volleyball that they had with me. I'm just saying some people didn't know their limits, and that's why we can't have nice things.
Damn it all. I think you put the perfect bow on things. Allow me to echo a lot of what Mike said. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for joining the podcast so many times. It's really been a pleasure to talk to you so often.
Anytime, fellas. I mean what I said. Yeah, you've been a great friend. Both of you have been great friends over the years. But more importantly, what you guys do, it shouldn't be sneezed at or dismissed. You guys deserve a huge round of applause from a lot of the fans out there. And thank you very much for letting me be just a small yet long-winded part of all of this.
And folks, if you want to consider to continue to hear Mike continue to be long-winded, allow us to now do the one thing I didn't want to have to do. Derek, we have to abdicate the title. As the longest running, reigning, defending podcast champions of Raleigh, it is with great, great pleasure that Mr. Maniscalco, we now hand the title to you.
Gentlemen, I am humbled, but let me say this. like the Four Horsemen used to run, one of us will always have the title. We'll just keep it in the four. That's how it will go.
And you never know. We might just do a run-in come playoff time. All right, Mikey, good to talk to you, buddy.
Trust
go get
me. If anybody out there will run in on the Canes cast, I know it'll be you two clowns, and I cannot wait for that.
Right, we can't wait. Talk to you soon,
awesome.
Mikey.
Thanks, Mike.
See ya.
Thank you.
I don't know if we could have handed the titles off to a more dynamic pair than the modern-day Rock and Roll Express that is Mike Smith and Mike Maniscalco.
So which one of them is Ricky Morton?
I mean, I think you know.
Who?
Who? Who? No, we're not talking about the New Day. We're talking about the Rock and Roll Express. Anyway, I'm really excited that...
the answer is Michael Smith.
Oh, come on. We all know Mike Maniscalco has a Marty Jannetty wig somewhere. He wasn't
part of the Rock and Roll Express. That was the Rockers.
Whatever.
Next time Mr. Workrate sees you, he's kicking you in the shin.
You know what? And I'll say something incorrect about Voltron, and he'll just completely break down.
Fair enough.
Thank you to Mike for taking some time out of his evening to join us here on the podcast. Very kind words. And again, he is at Mike Maniscalco over on the Twitters, quite possibly the most beloved man in hockey media. And we have been fortunate to not only call him a guest on this podcast many times, but a very dear and true friend. So thank you, Mike, for that. Derek, I like what Mike had to say about the impact that Justin Williams is going to have on this season, which is literally the focus of the playoffs and what he's going to bring to this team. If we're looking towards the playoffs, you know, we'd be remiss. We're not going to be doing a trade deadline special. So let's do trade deadline now. When the Carolina Hurricanes make their trade this year at the trade deadline, what's it going to be?
That's a good question.
Isn't it? I'm full of good questions. I'm full of bad answers, but I'm really full of good questions.
So who, I haven't watched the last couple games, life getting in the way and such. Who's been our healthy scratch on forward the last couple games?
For last night's game, Jordan Martinook was, but Jordan Martinook, that was because of one Mr. Justin Williams drawing back into the lineup. I mean, okay. We have to imagine that it's going to be a rotation, much like TVR and Hayden Fleury, of Brock McGinn and Jordan Martinook at this point, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the combination, but I think – I forget which one of our guests said this, and I hate to do it that way, but the way this team often trades for people, it is – not for guys on expiring contracts the way that so many teams trade at the deadline or in the offseason, Eric Halla being an exception, and I could see us shipping out. And it does pain me because bringing in guys just to trade them out, but I think our two biggest pieces who might be on the move are Halla and Edmondson.
Ooh, now see, Eric Halla, I think Eric Halla adds so much to this team right now.
I think he does a good job, but I think, I don't know. I mean, I do like the third line just being full of hot, nasty, badass speed. I really like that a lot with Dzingel, Halla, and Natchez. But if we're going to move somebody, I see it being one of those guys. I think Edmondson is probably the more likely guy. I mean, Pierre LeBrun and some others have talked about the Canes looking for basically a better Edmondson on defense, a guy who just does the right things. He's responsible defensively before he's looking to jump into the rush offensively. And Mike, what you said of Forslund's comments on David Glenn, of maybe this team is looking to be a little more defensively responsible. Maybe that's a place that we look to upgrade.
But the power play has also been in a bit of a downward spiral. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I have no idea. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to make a bad move that makes them lose to the Boston Bruins in either the first or the second round of the playoffs. I think, you know, you're going to hear this from one of our other guests. I think Arizona is going to be a mover and a shaker. I think they've got a lot of value, and I think they think they can do something, you know, pretty spectacular out west. I think this team needs, I think this team needs a little bit more experience on defense. in the playoffs. I would not be surprised if we see an elder defenseman maybe come into that bottom six pair to maybe spell some minutes from Hayden Fleury and Trevor Van Riemsdyk. I don't know. I kind of like this team how it is. I don't know if I want to ship out a lot, but then, you know, I also don't want to miss out on, you know, that one piece that was Mark Recchi or Doug Waite in 2006 mm-hmm. that could add something spectacular to this team. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks in the Metropolitan Division specifically. And why don't we go up to Long Island to talk to one of the folks who may know the Metropolitan Division even better. Derek, again, would not be – when we were saying, look, we're shutting this thing down. Who do we want on? Yeah, I know, right? There's been few people in this run of whatever Section 328 has been that has been as influential and as welcoming as Long Island's own first son. No. I'm not talking about Mr. Workrate. We're talking about Long Island's actual first son, Sean Leahy. The guy who not only started Puck Daddy, but basically brought it to its knees and crushed it with the power of NBC. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Leahy. Sean, welcome to the podcast. How are you, sir?
Gentlemen, I wish I could be joining you on slightly better terms here. So
the terms are great. We're sad. Canes lost to Canes beat the Isle last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good.
Jay Will coming back as only he could do and winning it in dramatic fashion. Sure.
So Sean, let's talk a little actual hockey tonight, right? We've talked to a few folks tonight from a national, but as someone who is so close to the Metropolitan Division, have you ever seen a division that is more talented and more tightly bunched than this year's group of Metropolitan Division teams?
Well, they might be slightly more talented, but if you take a gander at the Pacific Division, it's pretty nuts. And there's like a 3-point difference between first place and I think fourth or fifth place. But yeah, talent wise, you know, it's funny. Remember all those years the Western Conference was like the belle of the ball, and now while they still have the Blues and the Avs and the Stars doing well, you look at the East and especially the Metro, like you said, and you have so many elite teams: Tampa, Boston, the Canes, the Pens, the Islanders doing well. The Capitals are cruising along. Columbus is on a heater right now. Philly's kind of weird, but they're, you know, hanging around, and you expect Toronto maybe to turn things around. So the East is looking good, and especially the Metro, because you know, the Islanders are you know, a couple points behind the Penguins there, but they still have a game in hand, and we know how they can go on runs, especially looking at last year with their goaltending. And the Penguins, with the way they've been banged up all season long, yet still picking up points. And then you got the Canes, who I think are kind of a sleeping giant, right? They got Justin Williams back, and I think I don't want to underestimate, you know, you don't want to underestimate the impact that a guy like Justin Williams could have in the room, because we kind of saw it last year, just with, you know, his, not only is he a good hockey player, but you can tell just how much the guys respect him in that room. And just how he helped change the culture of the team. And obviously we know what happened with the storm surge and the Canes becoming such a lovable bunch last year. So I think having Justin back there is going to be a huge boost for that team in the second half.
So Sean, you said a couple things there that really jumped out at me. One, we expect Philly's just weird, and you can take that sentence in this podcast or in any sort of medium, and it's going to be applicable. But the other thing is that the Pacific Division is such a jumble. So I want to ask you, before the season, if I told you which would be more surprising, that 1 point separates first from fifth with 50 games played in the season, or that with each holding a game in hand, Vancouver and Edmonton lead the division?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane, right? Like, Calgary has kind of been – they've been underachieving a bit, considering, you know, what we expected out of them this year. Obviously, they've had a lot going on off the ice, and Johnny Gaudreau is not kind of playing up to par. And Vegas, you know, they fired Gallant last week, but I mean, you look at their underlying numbers, and they're insane. It's just they can't get a save. Fleury, Malcolm Subban just cannot stop the puck. If they can get goaltending, if Peter DeBoer can somehow turn to a goalie whisperer and turn things around, which he couldn't do in San Jose. Let's not keep that, you know, let's not forget about that with Aaron Dell and Martin Jones. Then Vegas is going to be a really team to watch out for in the second half. And then Arizona, you know, last year they were doing this and their whole team was hurt. This year they're healthy. They got Taylor Hall. They got Phil Kessel. Darcy Kemper is playing his way into the Vezina Trophy conversation. So it's crazy. And then Vancouver and Edmonton, you know, I had both teams out of the playoffs before the season, and I had Vancouver improve, right? You got Quinn Hughes and Brodin and JT Miller. The question was goaltending. What kind of player are you going to get out of Jacob Markstrom this year? And he's been fantastic. Tyler Myers has played a lot better than I think a lot of us thought he would. At least, you know, obviously this is year one of that contract, so we'll see what happens down the line. But you figured that the Canucks, they were going to take a step forward with the young players they have there. Obviously, Elias Pettersson, your favorite there in Carolina after the draft fiasco that we had during the Botford tribute. And Edmonton, obviously, they're being carried by 2-3 guys there and getting decent goaltending. So you wonder how long that's going to last in the second half with Calgary expecting them to turn things around. Vegas, like I said before. And then beyond that, you know, I think San Jose is a lost cause at this point. They should start looking towards next year, which it sounds like Doug Wilson might be doing at this moment.
You know, there's very few teams, Sean, who are kind of way on that outside looking in. You know, you've got Detroit, San Jose starting to make some changes. Obviously, there's some things happening in the Atlantic with Ottawa. But what do you think are going to be some of the biggest and maybe most surprising moves that we have leading up to the trade deadline in about a month?
Yeah, I was thinking about, we're doing something later this week at Pro Hockey Talk about, you know, which team should make the biggest splash at the trade deadline. And I'm looking at the players who are probably going to be on the move, like the J.G. Pageaus and maybe the Anthony Duclairs. And you're trying to slot into which teams may be desperate to make a move. And as far as teams that are kind of outside the bubble, I think the one that should pop out is the Maple Leafs. None of those young guys are on their rookie contracts anymore. They've been bouncing in the first round for the last 3 years. They need help on the blue line. The pressure is on to win a cup in the next couple of years. And, you know, they're a team I think we got to look out for to add. And I think Arizona, they already got Taylor Hall. They're in a wild card spot right now. We just talked about the Pacific Division is tight, so they can easily be Pacific Division champions in 3 months' time, which is pretty crazy to think about when you're talking about the Coyotes and the Pacific Division. But, you know, they're right there. So, be John Chayka, you went for it, right? You got Phil Kessel, you went for it. You traded for Taylor Hall to make the playoffs. You didn't trade for Taylor Hall to, you know, dance around a wild card spot and build for next year, because Taylor Hall may not be there next year. They've got a lot of good young pieces there. They got great goaltending, not just from Kemper, but also Antti Raanta when he's healthy. I think those, you look at teams, you know, not desperate to make a move, but teams that could probably bulk up for different reasons at the deadline. I think you got to look at the Leafs and the Coyotes.
Sean, you brought up the draft in Vancouver where Mike may have had a role almost causing an international incident and his passport possibly getting revoked, but thankfully none of that came to fruition.
Allegedly.
But, you know, we've shared adult beverages at a number of drafts, and I'm not saying that to lead the witness in this answer, but you are someone who, because of your role at Pro Hockey Talk, you get to travel and cover hockey at all sorts of events. Would love to know, of the recurring events on the NHL calendar, whether it's the All-Star Game, the Winter Classic, one of the 41 Stadium Series games a year, the Cup Final, the draft, etc., what of those events do you get most excited for each year?
I probably out of all of them, as fun as the Stanley Cup is, but it's a 2-week grind. You know, a lot of travel and a lot of, you know, you're busy obviously, but I've always loved All-Star Weekend, and that goes before I became a writer. I loved it as a fan. I love the skills competition. I love the game. You know, back in the day when it was somewhat entertaining. Now I think it's gotten a little better. I think the 3-on-3 tournament, you can see, especially in that second game when $1 million is on the line, you see the guys kind of playing a little bit harder. But All-Star Weekend, it's so much fun because it's so laid back. You go to these places. You know, we're going to be in St. Louis later this week, and it's like a big convention. You know, it's like HockeyCon almost. There's fans from every single fan base. You all see all sorts of different jerseys, from NHL jerseys to international to guys' junior jerseys. Like, you see Connor McDavid, Iriotta's jerseys. It's great, and it's a big celebration of hockey. And then on the media side, they have a media day on usually the day before the skills competition, and they bring out each of the guys. The guys are so laid back because they're on a break. You know, they're kind of away from their team. They're away from the stresses of the season. And I'll never forget one of my most memorable moments as a writer regarding the All-Star game was the game in Columbus, the media day at the Nationwide Arena. Phil Kessel's there, and they have these guys in their podiums. You know, they're talking to the media for 15, 20 minutes, and we were just shooting the shit with Phil Kessel, okay? Phil Kessel and the media about his favorite American shows on History Channel, American Pickers, you know, other things he's been watching on Netflix. You know, fishing, like all of this stuff that's not even, you know, a little bit hockey we touched on, but mostly like non-hockey related. And it's Phil Kessel, like a guy who's notoriously, you know, awkward and doesn't really talk into the media. And here he was, like, so comfortable, laid back, got his hat on. You know, he's just shooting the shit with us for a good 15, 20 minutes. And that's, you know, that's what you get from All-Star Weekend. Right? You kind of see a little bit of personality from these guys. You know, you see during the skills competition and during the All-Star game, and now the All-Star tournament. So, you know, it's a way for fans to see these guys relaxed, you know, having fun, and not, you know, killing each other trying to grab 2 points on a night. So I've always loved the All-Star game for that, and I'm glad to see this wave of young players who are already showing some more personality, you know, off the ice with Instagram and social media and things like that. Kind of bringing that to on the ice and kind of making the event a lot more enjoyable for themselves, you know, their buddies, but also for the fans as well.
I remember a fun player moment when the All-Star game was here in Raleigh. I forget if it was Matt Duchene's second season, but he was not a man who was yet 21 years of age, and the NBC cameras I think it was NBC, maybe it was Versus or OLN or whatever the hell the NHL All-Star game was on back in 2011. But Matt Duchene was very clearly picked up on camera talking about how much vodka he had the night before. Like, all right, good times.
Well, that was when they still had the draft, right, down in Raleigh.
Oh yeah,
that was one of the years they had the draft. So they had those guys backstage, you know, and they were certainly loading them up for sure, making them a little bit looser.
It was great. I remember. I believe, speaking of Phil Kessel, I believe Phil Kessel was drafted last.
Oh, Sad Kessel.
Yeah, Sad Kessel. That was the beginning of Sad Kessel, which was great. And Sean, I feel like we would not be doing the folks who have been with us, with MVSW, with Puck Daddy, and folks, Sean Leahy, you can follow him over on Twitter. He is at @Sean_Leahy.
Respect the underscore.
Respect the underscore. It's spelled the correct Irish way. You can follow him. He does all of the great work over on Pro Hockey Talk on NBC Sports. And Sean, we're going to go back a little bit in the annals. I want to just give you this platform, our final ever podcast. The one thing you and I may agree on more than anything is the fact that raisins are simply diseased grapes, which someone decided that it was okay to send a diseased food to young children to eat. If you could give a 30-second statement to the California Raisin Board on why raisins do not belong in trail mix, sir, the platform.
Because they're terrible. They're little shriveled things. Who likes shriveled things, right? No one likes to look at their fingers when they're in the pool for too long and all shriveled. You don't like to look at shriveled old people. When I have trail mix, right? I want my peanuts. I want my other kind of nuts. If you fancy those, I want my M&Ms. I want maybe some chocolate chips, some carob chips, some vanilla chips, what, caramel chips. I don't want any raisins because it takes away from the sweet experience. And to me, as I've dubbed raisins for so long, and when it comes to trail mix, they're just obstacles. They're in the way of the good stuff. And when I get a bag of trail mix, I make sure. I sometimes I'll open it in the store and inspect it myself. and seal it back up if there's raisins inside. But make sure there's no raisins inside, because it's just, they're just terrible. There's no need for them. They're useless. They're like the appendix of fruits. They're garbage. Get them out of here.
I don't know if you've thought of this, but if you have a rider, maybe you should put that on your rider of, I want a bowl of trail mix in my green room, and if there's one raisin in here, we're going to have words.
Well, that's actually second on my list after a jug of 1,000 brown M&Ms.
I love it. Folks, he is at Sean _ Leahy. He is been one of the best friends for the podcast of this song, for this podcast. Huh? Of this podcast and of this blog for quite some time. Back when this blog actually produced the written word, I believe it was Sean and Jen Neal who gave us our first opportunity to be part of the Buck Daddy blog. So, Sean, from our little family here in Carolina to you and yours on Long Island, we wish you a hearty farewell. Thank you for everything you've done for us, and we can't say thank you enough. And rumor has it our asses will still see you in Montreal.
Jim, I love you both. I love the blog. I love the podcast. I'm sad that it's ending, but like I said before, I hope this is like a Ric Flair retirement where in, I don't know, 4 months from now when the Canes are in the conference final again, I'm getting the text saying, hey, you want to come on the show tonight? Because I fully expect that to happen. So I'm looking forward to it. But thanks for the memories. Thanks for all of you do. And thanks for raising awareness for the Canes fan community, because I know how much you guys mean to them and how much they enjoy your stuff.
Well, thanks, Sean. Thanks, he is 200 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. That's Sean Leahy, folks. Thanks, Sean.
Night, guys.
Derek, I know there's been a lot of hot takes on this podcast, but Sean Leahy might have had the most correct take ever. Raisins are awful. Raisins are the Pavel Brendel of trail mix.
No, they're tiny.
Well, but they were at one, they were once very plump.
Touche.
I mean, we have to imagine now. Pavel Brendel has to be slightly shriveled, right?
I don't know. Maybe
either that, or may have exploded like the girl in Willy Wonka.
Maybe he's gone full Ricky Hatton. Between fights.
Maybe. Thank you to Sean Leahy from
Only
NBC Sports.
And Pavel Brendel. I'm sorry.
From Pro Hockey Talk and NBC Sports.
Walking a log, singing a song, walking in a... I'm sorry. Okay.
Anything? Normally, I'm the one who breaks out in song. I like this.
Yeah. All right. I was actually looking up Ricky Hatton. I stumbled across Ricky Hatton's Wikipedia page today. That's the wormhole I went down.
Wow. Wow. And people are wondering why this podcast has
tweet me at drussell, DROESSL, if you can guess how I got to Ricky Hatton's Wikipedia page.
I love it. Thank you to Sean. Derek, thank you for taking us down Ricky Hatton wormholes. Gosh, we have gone down a lot of wormholes over the year. I mean, between the wrestling wormholes, me singing, the infinite amount of times you and I have been wrong, primarily me, and been corrected by primarily by the Section 328 Corrections Department, that is, for those who don't know, has been president for years by Pat Clark. We've gone down a lot of wormholes. What's been your favorite weird tangent conversation of the podcast, Eric?
Oh, my God. Are you asking this because you have one?
Not yet.
Because if you did, I'd love for you to say it so I can buy some time.
I mean, my favorite ones, and folks may not get this, right? But, you know, one of my favorite parts of this podcast is the fact for the last 6 years, we've been able to do it for the most part in the same room. And while we tried to do Twitch a little bit, we're just ugly and uninteresting. So that didn't last. But the look on your face when I break out into random 1970s hee-haw songs, it is something that will go to my grave that I will always, always smile about. And for anybody who wants to send hee-haw gifs to the response of this podcast, you're aging yourself, but B, thank you, because every single one of them makes me laugh. Rest in peace, Buck Owens.
I don't know who that is.
You also don't know who Roy Clark is, but that's okay.
I know Buck Henry just died. Best worm, our favorite wormhole that we've gone down.
I really don't know. I mean, I've always enjoyed the wrestling conversation probably far more than 90% of our listeners have. Yeah, I really don't know. I wish I... Mike, I think this is perfect. Because this would have been a great time for us to do some show prep.
Right.
But why start now?
We'll do better next time. Actually, we won't.
Mike, what does that mean to play us out?
I have no idea. Folks, I think we want to go to our last guest, our last formal guest before we go to the quick round table. But many who have listened to this podcast through the years know that this podcast is loosely based upon the original podcast that was the MVSW, Merrick versus Wyshynski, daily podcast that really got me into listening to podcasts, got me into hockey, and really kind of fired this up. So we went to the Godfather himself. Ladies and gentlemen, direct from Stouffville, let's go to talk to Jeff. And folks, welcome back to the podcast. It did not feel right for us to put a bow on this podcast without talking to the one man who was, in fact, the inspiration for all of this. For those of you who have been listening for a while, you've known that a long time ago, Jeff Merrick once said, if you're passionate about something, speak about it, start a podcast, do something. And that inspired Derek and I to do that. So coming to us all the way from beautiful Stouffville, Ontario, Canada, is the one, the only Jeff Merrick, the Godfather himself. Jeff, I have first question for those, and I know many people will be disappointed if we don't ask this. Is there still a bar in Stouffville?
Yes, there are numerous bars in Stouffville. I attended none of them. The only problem is, like, I live at the far end, sort of right on the border of another town called Uxbridge. And I'm a full-time employee at Rogers, and I'm a full-time hockey dad. As my wife likes to say now, because I don't go out, she says, "Jeff, you are now born to be mild." So there are bars. I never darken the doorways, but yes, they do exist. And by the way, guys, thanks for having me on here. So I can finally say that I ended a podcast, that I closed one out. And I was outside of closing the MVSW one in a very pretentious way with a Timothy Leary quote. It's nice to go out on one here, or help send one off to see where we're actually talking about hockey and not pretentious Timothy Leary quotes.
Well, we're doing our best to give this a Viking funeral, and by Viking I mean drinking Irish whiskey while we do this. So,
oh my.
So again, in your words there, to avoid pretension and staying true to the theme, We talked to a lot of people locally about the Hurricanes, and obviously the view is very biased, but would love to get your view as someone who keeps an eye on the whole league of what do you think about the Hurricanes this year, and how do you like our chances down the stretch losing such a key figure like Dougie Hamilton?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, he's having like a Norris Trophy type season. I mean, John Carlson is probably walking away from it, or walking away with it. But right in there in that conversation is Dougie Hamilton having the best season of his career. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to cry about the Carolina Hurricanes and the embarrassment of riches they have on the back end. It's a blue line that's the envy of a lot of teams in the NHL. But that one's tough, man. Like, you guys know a lot better than I do. You're there at all the games. Like, this guy is super legit, super important. Is he a different guy? Yes. And that's why it fits in with the Carolina Hurricanes so well, because it's a different team at every single level, and that starts with ownership. And they do things differently, and they behave differently. And I like the fact that they're not shy about being a different team, whether it's their organizational structure or whether it's what they do post-game on the ice. So the one thing that I've always loved about Dougie Hamilton, and this goes back to his days, I used to watch him play with the Niagara Ice Dogs of the OHL, played online with his brother Freddie, and Ryan Strome was on that team, was a superstar in the OHL. Ever since I started watching him play, I've always said the same thing. Nobody one-times the puck like this guy. Like, no one is as smooth one-timing the puck as Dougie Hamilton. It is a beautiful thing to do. And you guys know me, I geek out on tiny little things like that. It's a tough injury. It's horrible for the player. It's bad for the organization. And just selfishly, I'm going to have to try to figure out who I like. You know, who's smoother at taking a one-timer now that Dougie Hamilton's no longer in the NHL?
You know, we've got a young guy here, Martin Natchez. He's starting to get pretty, kid's starting to get pretty good there. But we've also got a young guy who just came back and hit the ice last night with the game winner in the shootout. One Mr. Justin Williams. Was there disappointment around the league in the fact that Justin Williams did not consider going to other organizations? And what do you think, as someone who watches this game with a much keener eye than we, what's the impact Justin Williams can have on this Hurricanes team, particularly on special teams?
Playoffs, first of all, for Justin Williams. And you know what? I think that there was a feeling out there very much that if it wasn't going to be the Carolina Hurricanes, it probably wasn't going to be anywhere for Justin Williams. This place is a real home on the ice for him. And, you know, if you're going to go out, you want to go out your own way. And this is, you know, considering everything that he's meant to this team and everything he's done for this team, I think the feeling out there was if he's coming back, it's going to be Carolina. And to me, it's playoffs, right? You mentioned Martin Nechas, and this is a young team, Sebastian Aho, Tero Teravainen. Like, this is a really, really young Andrei Svechnikov. This is a really young squad. So I think anytime you can have players and people like Justin Williams on your team, you're always one leg up. And I always find it endlessly fascinating that one of the old school guys, or someone that you would think would be an old school guy, you know, was part of the genesis of the storm surge. You know, normally you'd think like, oh no, Justin Williams got to hate something like this. Yeah, he helped create this. Like, that's how much of a progressive thinker he is. So I love him. We all do. I know everyone listening to this podcast probably does right now. But this guy's impact, this guy's value shows up when the puck gets a little bit heavier, and that's mid-April when the playoffs start.
Yeah. Sorry. You mentioned the storm surge, and I know, Jeff, that when people think of you, they think of just raucous celebrations and going out to bars all the time. But if you came up with one storm surge, what would you have the team do?
Well, for a while I said curling, and then they did that. What would I come up with for storm surge? That is a hell of a question.
Like, I have to imagine if Jeff's coming up with a storm surge, I mean, he's trotting out the hobo, right? I mean, you just get a tiny
littlest hobo.
You just trot out a little train.
It's got to be something that everybody identifies with and everybody understands. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, and nothing is coming to me right now. I mean, dominoes is a good one. Have they done dominoes yet?
Maybe. We did a lot of storm surges last year.
I don't know. It might be a 10-hour storm surge, but maybe you bring out a tattoo artist.
Oh, that would be
just
awesome.
Just get everybody some custom ink.
That'd be fantastic. As someone who appreciates the value of ink on your body, yes. That'd be pretty sweet. I mean, I loved Evander Holyfield. I thought that was fantastic. I think anytime you can get celebrities involved, as many people might say, okay, well, that's a little bit too much. Not me. Get everybody involved. And if you can drag celebrities out there, I'm still waiting for the answer to why Justin Williams, because his deal was all done. After that win, that wasn't like the ultimate storm surge. Justin Williams is back. Wouldn't that have been, and I'm sure you guys have talked about that before, wouldn't that have been the ultimate storm surge?
I mean, you go full Sting style 1997 black cape, I mean, the black coat, and you lower Justin Williams down from that giant new Jumbotron holding a baseball bat and a pen to sign the contract at center ice. I mean, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, or you do it the way that Stormy debuted, coming out of the bony.
Stormy almost died.
Yeah, so we know that, and we can all look back on it now and breathe a sigh of relief and have a chuckle about it. It's okay.
Oh God, that wild-eyed mushroom. The original Storm. Many people don't remember the original Stormy costume. Looked like he had just got done taking a couple of hits of the good from the forest. Yeah. All right, Jeff. I know we got limited time tonight, and I would not feel good about myself knowing that this is going to be the last question I ever get to ask you on this podcast. It's going to be about quite possibly one of my favorite players ever to play for the Carolina Hurricanes, Rod Brind'Amour. He is the coach. He is our captain. He raised the Lord Stanley's chalice. So I ask you this, Jeff. Think back in the annals. If Rod Brind'Amour were a pre-NWO wrestler, which wrestler is Rod Brind'Amour and why?
Which wrestler is Rod Brind'Amour? First of all, someone that's got to be successful. Someone that's got to be someone that's a total gym dog. Someone that has a college background. I'm thinking Scott Steiner.
Oh, so what you're saying is we should Eric holla if you hear me?
That's not bad. That's pretty quick thinking there. Yeah, I would say Scott Steiner. I mean, him and Rick, you know, the varsity style tag team champions once upon a time. We know that he's a gym dog. He can't stop working out, and he's had, you know, wild success in the pro wrestling business. The more I think about it, the less I have to talk myself into it. Yes, Scott Steiner, that's what I'm going with.
I could also see, if it weren't so much for the affinity for actually working out, Arn Anderson. Strong guy, you didn't want to test him, didn't talk a whole lot, but when he spoke volumes.
Oh, but when he spoke, Arn was one of the best promos in the business.
But a lot of bad bod on Arn than Rod.
Yeah, you know, he enjoyed the celebrations. I mean, don't forget, like, he ran with Nature Boy for a lot of years too, and that does a toll on the body, as you guys well know. So, yeah, I can see Arn if he was more of a gym rat, let's just say. I think Arn knew a bunch of guys named Jim. I don't think he ever sort of darkened the doorways of one.
Jeff, there is no better way to end this than that. So again, from two little local Yahoos to had their first drink with you a long time ago at the Philadelphia draft, to
I remember that,
everything in between, we cannot say thank you enough for your inspiration, your all of your time over the years, and for just being one of the bright lights in the hockey media circle. So from these two guys to you, thank you very much. Good luck to you, the family, everything going on at 31 Thoughts, the podcast brought to you by GMC, because this podcast is no longer sponsored. So you might as well count that as a plug for your boys. Jeff, thank
Throw
you so
plug.
Much, sir,
That's
man.
Awesome. Listen, guys, good on you guys. Feel good about yourselves. Mike, Derek, great work. And, you know, you guys did it right. You know, take a very, very simple saying that we used to talk about all the time on the old MBSW podcast. Start a blog, start a podcast. All the tools are there. Just start talking. The more conversation around this goofy sport, the better. So good on you guys for doing it. And listen, best of luck in whatever the future holds for both you guys. And I'm sure you guys will get asked the same question that Greg and I still get asked every single day on Twitter. When are you guys getting back together again? So good luck in whatever next. And I'll start bugging you now about getting back together again.
Looking forward to the reunion tour, Jeff. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, boys.
See ya. Derek, I ain't going to say I'm getting a little misty-eyed here at the end of the podcast, but I'm pretty sure by the end of the podcast, things are going to get weird. I take it? Do you mind? Are you going to be uncomfortable if I take off my pants?
No.
Good. Thank you to Jeff Merrick. I mean, is there...
Yeah.
We had the debate we had quietly off the air after we had a chance to talk to Jeff was...
We don't do anything quietly.
Who is a nicer Canadian? Jeff Merrick or Steve Dangle? We've had the fortunate opportunity to spend much time with both. Both of them currently working for Rogers Sportsnet, have worked their way up the ranks to high positions in kind of hockey medium, and really just blessed and fortunate that we ran across both of those individuals at the Philadelphia draft. Jeff and Greg, Sean Leahy, Harrison Mooney, and others at the bar in Philadelphia, the first draft we ever went to. We also saw Paige Lewis there, who happens to now be a director of operations for a junior team up in Toronto. Her husband has a prominent position in Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment in their AHL division. We also partied with the coked up werewolf that night,
the Broad Street Hockey Crew.
The Broad Street. For those of you who don't know who the coked up werewolf is, that is Merrick versus Wyszynski, Game Show Friday legend Matt Riegler. Shout out to Riegler.
Also Tally Duchesne.
at that time was just blown up with all kinds of fun songs. Katie Brown, who has done a lot of great work in hockey journalism.
Yes.
Since then, we ran into them.
Worked for some bad folks in Pittsburgh, works for some really nice folks at the NHL, we understand, in Washington. So just some amazing times, and that really kind of kicked this whole thing into overdrive. It was the first time we ever realized that people outside of mom and dad and maybe two or three people in Raleigh were actually listening. So,
and please know, we say this not to name drop. It sounds like we're dropping a lot of names, but I can tell you, when Mike and I went to that bar where the MVSW meetup was, we got there early. One, because we wanted to eat some shepherd's pie to put down a good base for what we knew was going to be all of the booze that we consumed that night. But two, we sat in that room going, we know that person. Oh, we know that person. And we felt, I don't want to say out of place, but we were like, you know, who do we talk to, this and that. And it was kind of our introduction into other hockey people. And then we learned a lot of them shared that same, like, what the hell are we all doing here?
Yeah.
And it was nice. So we say that by no means to boast or brag that we've met this person or that. It's just that we've been fortunate to meet a lot of really good people.
And I think that extends to everything that's happened with what we've tried to turn this community into, because that night kind of became, I think, a really big foundation of what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be a place that was open, and we wanted to be a place where that was open to other voices and where you could meet other people and agree or disagree on hockey stuff, but you could just have fun and have a good conversation. And that night in that bar in Philadelphia, the following day, where Steve Dangle took us under his wing for a few hours and, you know, just kind of showed us around Philadelphia, and just, a myriad of experiences led to what has been the last, you know, for, in terms of social interactions, probably better than 50% of the social interactions I've had for the better part of the last 7 years of my life. So, we say all this knowing that, we want to encourage all of you that to go find new voices, to go find new friends, and to go meet people and have conversations about hockey, because you never know who that random person you might be who might think that the opinion you have is really interesting or cool, and you end up being lifelong friends with that person. So, you know what, Derek, this seems like the right time to, why don't we go talk to some other lifelong friends who have some cool ideas too?
Let's do it.
All right, folks, it would not be a final Cheaters Never Win if we didn't, in fact, try to do something that seemed like a great idea on paper, but ultimately ended up being one of the worst ideas ever.
Wait, final what?
Tom, you got a pink hang tag in your 328 locker. You might want to report to the principal after you get off this call. Folks, on the line here with Derek and I, we have three of section328.com's finest. We do have the original addition to the team, Long Island's third, maybe fourth favorite son, but he's number one in our hearts. He brought to us for the first time ever Canes as WWE wrestlers. The one, the only Tom Edwards, Mr. Workrate, is on the line. Also, Puck and Sunshine himself, the king of retail, which means he only could do content like 7 months out of the year, JC Bobbitt. And then the king of everything that is the web. And the guy who has every contrarian opinion you've thought but never voiced, Pat Clark. Welcome to the roundtable, boys. This is it. We're going out with a bang. Final Cheaters Never Win. First question for the team. Why have we been so bad at predictions over the last 7 seasons for this Carolina Hurricanes team?
No one is good at predictions. No one. Zero.
Yeah. Predictions are for suckers.
Yeah. If you were good at predictions, you would not live here. You'd live in Las Vegas. You would make money doing that.
And then go on Jeopardy for, you know.
And then lose to Ken Jennings.
Yes.
I say, I know, at least for me.
By Ken Jennings.
So I can write them coherently. I'm doing it sober. So that's the issue, because they're wrong. I don't have that foresight when I'm sober.
Well, I'm glad at the end I finally decided to turn things over to my kid, and his don't look half bad this year.
at least
it's like the person in your office who knows the least about basketball always wins the March Madness pool.
Exactly. Yep.
Mike just pointed at me like I'm supposed to have a question here, and I think that kind of goes right in line with the way that we've done this podcast, the way we've done everything. So, Tom, I want to ask you, one, thank you, but two, why the hell did you write something and send it to us like we had an audience or anything? Really appreciated the Canes as WWE wrestlers that Mike brought up, and Mike and I read it, we're like, holy hell.
He's one of us.
Yeah, he gets it. Because there's always been this, and Pat, I know you're the kind of the odd man out on this intersection between hockey fans and wrestling fans that I still do not understand. No one has ever explained it to me and in which I can process. But whatever it is that made you write that, one, thank you, and two, why?
So I was just kind of early getting in on the full-blown Canes bandwagon. I mean, I moved down in 2006 with the Cup run, and it took me a little while to get full-blown back into hockey after the shoe thrower ruined my hockey experience on Long Island. So he who may not be named. So it took me a while to get back into hockey, and I went to a game or two in the lockout season, 2012-2013, I guess it was, and I just started embracing the Canes in general and just kind of learning more about the players. And for whatever reason, I was getting back into wrestling too. I actually had kind of dropped off with wrestling for a little while, and it just seemed it was the type of article I would have written 10 years ago for other websites that I had written about. So I just started to kind of put these things together, and I'm like, where am I going to put this where anybody would see it? No one's going to care about this anyway. And I had been following you guys for a little while, and I'm like, what the hell? Let me send it over here. And I was just like, can I send you guys something? You don't have to like it. You don't have to do anything with it. I just wrote it. I don't know if anybody wants it, but here, take it. You cannot talk to me ever again. And that was it. Sometimes I need to write to write. And that was something I just needed to write for whatever reason. And I needed to show somebody, and I showed you guys, and God, what the hell happened?
What the hell happened is you started the cavalcade of folks who came into our world, not too far behind you, was the one, the only Pat Clark, the guy who behind all of this knew not only the internet but hockey probably 10 times better than all of us. So, Pat, I'd like to, what's been, in your experience, the worst overall 328 opinion we've ever given?
Oh my God.
So that way, ooh, you can finally get this off your chest. Cause I know you've got a lot of opinions, most of them bad.
Oh God.
But you know, let it out, Pat. Just let it all out.
Man, I think my brain just broke. I don't know what direction to go in. Jeez.
You know me well enough.
This is an easy one. Who are they playing tomorrow night? Who's the team playing
Winnipeg
tomorrow night? Yeah, who's their head coach?
Paul Maurice.
Paul Maurice is a Hall of Fame coach at the end of the day. Thank you. Good night. You guys are all wrong about Paul Maurice. There it is.
Wow. Burn it down.
He's a damn good coach.
Wow. All right. I really have – I don't have a retort because I can't argue hockey on merits with Pat.
JC, save us. What's on sale at your store currently?
Oh, no. I have a different question.
Okay. All right, never mind.
I think JC may say managers are on sale, but I have a question for JC because much like all of us on this call, we at one point offered written content for section328.com. Tom, I think of the five of us on the line here, you may have authored the most recent piece. JC,
maybe.
you wrote Puck and Sunshine for a while, in which, in the darkest of days, you offered ways that we could see the sunshine. Far too often, in my opinion, you included Derek Ryan. But I'd love to know...
Of course.
What was the most challenging time that you ever wrote a Puck and Sunshine, where you had to find something in just a stretch of terrible hockey?
Oh man, I think there was one time I think I was out of town for work, and this would have been 2018, early 2018. I think there was a game where we just completely floundered. I think I put the article, I don't know that it was ever published, but it was just like my first byline sentence, and then it was just like three or four lines of a period there, and then just the shrug emoji. So it would have been yeah, I guess February 2018, right around there. I've blocked the exact what triggered that out of my brain, thank God. But
that would have been near the trade deadline, the last of Bill Peters. So yeah, I can't point to a specific event, but yeah,
that whole time.
Well, and guys, we've had again. It wouldn't have been fair, and there's other folks who wanted to join the call tonight who can't be here. Dan Spencer, who was famous for all of our good kind of drink reviews and tailgate advice, and
also I think technically hilarious random stuff.
Yes,
he was the last written content on 328.
Oh yeah, that's right. The Cone yes. predictions.
Yep.
Well, for what it's worth, there may actually be actual content on 328 with the dropping of this podcast. But I think we would be remiss if we did not talk about the most consistent contributor to the 328 world of content, and that would be our very own beloved at Love and Hydrogen, she of Meg's Hurricane Watch. So I think since Meg unfortunately could not be here with us this evening, I wanted to make sure you know, maybe let's go round table. What was your favorite gimmick from Meg's Hurricane Watch throughout what has been now three or four seasons? For folks who maybe haven't picked it up, Meg's Hurricane Watch, which is for the time retired, may come back like many other things associated with us, but for now the Hurricane Watch is retired. What was your favorite part?
Okay, I'll go first. For me, it was the fact that there were so many people, and there may still be some listening to this podcast, who didn't know that there were things written in the background. What looked
oh,
like
you took
a different
mine. Come color, on, Derek.
What looked like a different color smudge in the background was often a hidden message. So, yeah, that's mine.
Yeah.
There were so many good things sprinkled throughout and carried throughout the Hurricane Watch, but that was my favorite, always to see people going, huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't want to pick out a specific thing because, I mean, I love every aspect of it, but I had the pinch hit a couple of times for Meg early on when she was, I think, she was on a trip one time and, you know, things happen with computers and that type of thing. I just wanted to reiterate how hard it is to do that from just the whole, you know, like bad Photoshop is still difficult. So it's just kind of putting things together, but it's so difficult sometimes to just kind of put together these like simple sentences to just like it might be easier to go, oh, I can pick a, you know, a cane of uncertainty. That's but when you're trying to think of little witty things or whatever, and sometimes like, I mean, any of us that have tried to write anything just knows that sometimes you hit that wall and it's incredibly frustrating that like, I just need to write three sentences. Why can't I write three sentences? So just the work that went into that, it may not look like a whole bunch of content, but damn, it was difficult to do.
Yeah, and it was one of the few things that really, you know, as the quote unquote serious, or I probably take hockey way too serious at the end of the day.
No.
That's why I've been labeled as having no fun. But damn, I didn't smile every day when Meg published that. Or when she would give us the sneak previews, kind of through some jokes. early on in the day before, you know, the general public got to see him. That always brightened up my day. Even during the dark days when, you know, you knew it was just going to be a shit game. There wasn't a ton of reason to watch, but man, it just perked you up to read.
Yeah, I would say for me, it's hard to pick just one specific gimmick, but I would say the few times that people like Tom have stepped into pinch hit, I can't remember exactly who did this one. I think several people have kind of done it in this style, actually, of just taking an old one and just photoshopping over it different words for whatever team it was. And that always cracked me up.
And I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't, you know, say my favorite Hurricane Watch gimmick is the fact that our own Love and Hydrogen basically guilted this franchise into drafting our current large adult son, Andrei Svechnikov, by telling them they were the cowards that they were.
For what, like 40 straight days or
yes.
something?
Mm-hmm. The Hurricane Watch coward gimmick has absolutely lived on and is so great. So, guys and gals and everybody associated with 328, we wanted to have a little bit of a group roundtable here on this, the last episode of Cheaters Never Win. First and foremost, to say thank you to some of our nearest, dearest friends who have spent many times with many tailgates, much time traveling, going to drafts, going to different places. And it has been an honor to share the airwaves with all of you at some point, to share the blog with you many, many times, but most importantly, to share the laughs and the fun times we have had as part of this little 328 family. So we know this is a public podcast and folks are listening. This is a little glimpse into how we honestly really feel about each other. Everybody here but Derek, because you guys know truly in my heart of hearts, I hate him.
Yeah.
We want to say thank you guys to Meg, to Pat, to Tom, to JC, to Dan, to the OG Jack, who is 328 OG, but not necessarily part of the face of 328. And to many others who have...
To Oliver, to Hannah,
to all of those who have contributed something over the years.
Oliver's better half, Emily.
Emily, yes. I mean,
I've also contributed.
I could go on and on and on. God, Canalytics, what another great find of just random people that have just kind of come into our lives. And everybody out there.
I hope Oliver finally finds that jam.
you know what? I hope Oliver finally gets to kidnap that Carmanos kid. And for those of you who didn't hear that, feel free to try to go back and find that Patreon draft episode, because it may or may not exist anymore. Y'all, thank you so much for joining us. Any words here as we kind of sign off here?
Thanks to you guys for creating this community and having us kind of be a part of it and everything. It's I'm incredibly and eternally grateful to both you and to everyone also out there listening for letting us in to your lives just a little bit.
And listen to Cheaters Never Win twice a year. Cheaters Never Pin twice a year.
Hey, Rumble season's coming up. Mania season's coming up. We'll be back on the horse here shortly.
Cheaters Never Pin.
It's the only one left now.
You guys are going to have to spend out another fiver to re-record that intro.
Yeah, pretty much. Already put in the order.
Beautiful. All right, everybody, thank you guys so much. From us to yours, thanks for being part of the 328 family. We love you guys. We'll talk to y'all soon.
All right, thanks boys.
You guys.
Bye, y'all.
Hey.
Sincerely, thank. I know we said it there at the end of the round table, but thank you to everybody who's ever been involved with this whole little shindig we've had. And Derek...
Yes.
The biggest part of this thing the whole damn time has been the listeners, because we've met a lot of people. We've had a chance to say to just meet a lot of great people. And we've had a lot of people send in a lot of cheat mail. Got to go get some cheat mail.
If I may, before we get into that,
please.
That was the most like synced up our snaps have ever been
ever
for cheat mail. So I think we're going on a high note, Mike, and I respect that. You want the first question?
Absolutely. You go.
Oh, no. I thought... okay. I meant asking it. Okay. This one. Since you mentioned the listeners.
Yes.
And when I think of the listeners, I think of all the people that we've met, like you mentioned. But a special thank you, and we will do some thank yous that we each have some that we'll get into after Cheat Mail. But I want to go ahead and say a special thank you to all the people who have supported us with their dollars on Patreon over the years. Sincerely, yeah. Thank you. We talked a lot about the draft in Philly, but we've been able to go to NHL drafts and provide a lot of coverage and do things like get better microphones so the audio quality of this podcast can be better. Thanks in large part to your support through Patreon. So sincerely, thank you all who have supported us on Patreon over the years. One of those people is Al Hood. He replied to our call for Cheat Mail in that, that this is the final episode of Cheaters Never Win. Al Hood's question is, wait, what?
You know, Al has become a huge friend of the podcast over the years. So Al, as you've probably picked up on by this amount, Al, you should start a podcast. You are one of those voices that are out there who has an opinion, who is interested in Carolina Hurricanes hockey. For anybody who's listening to this podcast, who has an interest in Carolina Hurricanes hockey or crocheting or knitting or, you know,
or needlepoint or cross stitch
or whatever, drinking booze and doing YouTube reviews. I don't know. If you have an interest in doing something, all of the tools are out there. As Jeff said, you know, there you could start up a blog for next to nothing. You can start up a podcast for next to nothing. Get behind your phone, get behind a microphone, get behind your laptop, and just record something. Share it with the world. You would be amazed at how many people out there need to hear your voice, or maybe more importantly, want to have a conversation with you. And Al, I know you've been through some stuff in the last couple of years. We are proud of where you've come through, where you are going, and thank you for being a constant supporter of the Cheaters Never Win podcast. Derek, I'm going to hit you with less of a a softball.
Okay.
This one from Hunter Tyson 30 or at Hunter Tyson 30. It is Hunter Tyson. Thoughts on the random "We Want a Michigan Chance" going on at PNC lately?
Hey, since this is our last podcast, what are the thoughts on profanity on this one?
Let it loose.
Fuck Michigan.
I'm sorry, Derek. How do you feel about Michigan?
I don't give a damn for the whole state of Michigan.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I have not been in the building for that god-awful chant. I want nothing to do with that state. I want nothing to do with calling the Svechnikov that. I don't even care that Svechnikov himself said it. He's a nice, polite young man, and that's the thing he's going to say, but I like the wave in comparison to that chant.
Ooh, woof. I'm fine. You know what? I'm fine with any chance in PNC because the boys need to hear the fans loud on the ice. And I don't care what you're chanting as long as you're focused and you're into the game. I don't care what the hell you're doing. Go for it.
You really don't?
I don't.
There's not one chant that would like drive you nuts.
Well, there's plenty, but I am not gonna withhold anybody else's fandom by judging their chants publicly. I may judge them privately, quietly, on my own time.
Fair enough.
Like the wave.
You have not done that quietly. Neither of us have. Mike, here's a question from Bad Kane's Regular Season Takes. Did the Cheaters finally win?
Yes. Yes. As we heard from Mike Maniscalco, the Astros won.
Oh.
The Red Sox won. The Patriots have continued to win previously to this year. And you know what? Maybe Cheaters do win. But you know what? I had fun thinking the optimistic point. I had fun rooting for the good guy. And you know what? If Cheaters eventually do win, guess what? I'm still going to root for the good guy. Derek.
Thanks. Thanks, Batman.
You're welcome. Let's see. Let's go to a hockey question from our buddy Stephen Riley. He is at Stephen Riley 99. Unfortunately, he does not respect the fact that Gretzky retired that number. Jesus Christ, Stephen Riley.
The Josh Hosang of our cheat mail.
I know. What happens to Holla at the end of the year?
We will break him on the wheel. His contract will play out to the pain.
To the pain.
Yes, and then my ears, I get it. No, the ears you keep. I don't think we're going to re-sign him. I think this team is not going to be in a place financially to re-sign him. And you know, I didn't think of it earlier when I brought up that he may be a trade asset that we have, but I don't know. I don't see a way that we keep him past this offseason.
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, because ultimately, I think ultimately the Eric Halla decision depends upon Jordan Staal. I don't think there's an Eric Halla decision to be made. I think there's a Jordan Staal decision to be made. There is multiple years of $6 million worth of Jordan Staal to be made. And if Jordan Staal remains a member of the Carolina Hurricanes franchise financially.
Spoiler alert, he will.
We say that now, but you never know. I mean, I don't know.
Does he have a no trade? I genuinely don't know.
I don't recall either, but there is also an expansion draft that's coming and multiple things there. So who knows what happens there? What do I think happens with Eric Halla? I don't know. We're bad at predictions. You guys may have learned that throughout the years.
Jordan Staal does have a no movement clause.
Okay.
Well, so we would have to protect him.
That sucks. I mean,
yeah, it just says NMC every year for his deal.
Gotcha. Okay, sure. All right, well.
Thanks, Cap Friendly, for existing.
Yeah, bye, Eric. Hall. Yeah. Not Staal. Staal's already gone. We said goodbye to him many times.
Mike, this question came to us from a couple folks. Overly Optimistic Kane, who we enjoyed meeting at the draft in Dallas, Jason Mariani, and some others who had various versions of this. What's your favorite thing about the podcast through the years?
I don't know if folks want the answer. You guys want the honesty? I'll give you the honesty. It's the fact that I've been given a built-in reason to hang out with one of my best friends for 2 hours every week for when you get older, right? I'm an old dude. I'm 46. I don't belong on Twitter and podcasting and all of that shit, right? When you get that age, you know, you've got a family and you've got the wife, and you don't have a lot of built-in reasons to be like, you know what? I'm going to hang out with my bud a little bit this week. It's been fun. I've liked it.
You bastard.
Follow that up, bitch.
I can't, and those who know I'm a crier, so I'm going to get through this, but beyond what Mike said, it was... It's not just meeting people, but it was the guests, like folks who would recommend guests to us. And I think we had a question that somebody else gave to us of like, who were some of your favorite guests or this or that, but it was the unexpected ones. Like, we were lucky enough for John Forslund to give us so much of his time in the summers. And we had folks on the podcast that we never thought we could get, like Brett Hedekin and Ray Whitney and
Mitch Marner and Phil Pritchard
and Noah Hanifin
drafted. And all of these people. Yeah.
And Bob McKenzie was the white whale I always wanted. But every time I got close to him at the draft, he was shoving 6 fries into his mouth and then running off because his BlackBerry blew up because he was one of 4 people left in the world with a BlackBerry. And that's just how it worked. And I didn't want to interrupt that man when he was so busy. But the guest who comes to my mind that was the most pleasant surprise, and it opened my eyes to somebody who I hadn't seen her work before, was Allison Lucan.
Yep.
When, you know, we play Columbus a lot. Well, not me and Mike. We don't really do that. But the Canes play Columbus pretty often, and we knew the folks at the Cannon or whatever.
The Artillery.
That's CBJ yep. Artillery. That's the ones. And they couldn't make it one night. And we said, well, who else do you know that covers Columbus? And they said, do you follow Allison L. on Twitter? Like, well, yeah, but, you know, we're not really up to date with all of her stuff. And she came on the podcast, and Mike and I kept looking at each other every time she answered a question going, holy shit, she's amazing. And we were fortunate enough to have her on the podcast again, and we've interacted with her on Twitter. And it's guests like her who were just such a pleasant surprise. That was another highlight of doing this podcast for so many years, was seeing those people and hearing those voices who I didn't know before that made being a hockey fan better.
Yeah, I like that. Again, and that's, you know, maybe that's what we hope to walk away here from is, you know, if we're a better, slightly better hockey fan, you know, slightly less judgmental. Derek, actually, I got a cheat mail question here. This one's from at mflanagan00 over on the Twitter.
I didn't see that one.
Do you wish to apologize to Cam Ward?
In what respect?
That was the question, Derek. I'm not going to. I can't elaborate for the guy. I don't know.
No, I don't. We talk about sports. I don't think either of us have ever said a bad word about Cam Ward, the person. Here you go, Mike. Here's my follow-up. This is from at D Wrestle. Is Cam Ward the Roman Reigns of Hurricanes players?
If Cam Ward's hair were just a bit wetter, yes.
Oh.
Yeah. How about this, Derek? Let's go to our buddy, Justin. He is at Drunk Canes fan. Let's get back to hockey. With Doogie out, how important is the play of Hayden Fleury? Should Fleury answer the call as he did during the Islands game? And is this cause for concern in the Seattle's expansion draft? Jesus, Justin, that is a run-on question. You know how to really push your limits. Jesus Christ, dude. So let's just pick one. Should we worry about Hayden Fleury in the Seattle expansion draft?
No.
Like, that is the correct answer. The correct answer is no.
I'm really not worried
about
it.
And Justin, we are all dumber for having read your question. And may God have mercy on your soul.
We award you no points.
We award you no points on Cheaters Never Win. And may God have mercy on your soul.
Where's the category on human dog poo and the burning, or burning dog poo and the human response? Not human dog poo. That didn't make any sense. Jesus.
Derek, do you have any more cheaters?
No. Cheat mail? I really don't.
I have one more here, and I want to I point this out just because I think this reminds us of just the expanse of kind of what hockey fandom has done. Let's do one more F, Mary, Kill. We only got one F, Mary, Kill tonight.
Hell yeah.
And I think we got to do it. This is
from my buddy Andy Cullen. Earlier.
He is Mull the Drummer. Andy actually lives in Ireland. I had a chance to visit Ireland this past year. And actually reached out to Andy and said, hey, man, you want to grab lunch? We grabbed lunch. Spent like 3 hours just talking hockey in a little pub outside, you know, in the same city where the Middleton Distillery is. They're in Middleton, Ireland. Had a great time with Andy. And our last ever cheat mail question from Andy Cullen all the way from the Irish Isle. F, Mary, Kill, TVR, finally getting a goal Flurry, or possible Phenom Bean?
Ooh, this is one that Pat might want to kill one of us for, depending on how we answer. Maybe yes. Both. We'll find out. I'm going to F, finally getting a goal Flurry, just for alliterative purposes.
Yes.
I'm going to marry possible Phenom Bean, because there's a lot of potential there, and you know there are more years remaining, and I'm gonna kill TVR.
Wait, you effed Flurry. Okay, you effed Flurry,
marrying the potential with Bean and killing TVR.
I mean, hasn't the Van Riemsdyks been through enough?
I don't know.
They haven't. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Trevor's going down. I feel dirty for this being the last ever F, Mary, Kill, but Derek, I think you're right.
What? Derek. It's a Festivus miracle.
yeah, Andy, I think this one's easy. You got to kill F. You got to kill TVR. I'm going long on the Bean, and you know that one time thing that happened with Flurry, it was good, and if it happens again, I'm okay with it. But if it never happens again, you know, maybe I'm not better. Maybe I'm not worse off for it.
Yeah.
Derek?
Yes.
This is part of the podcast where you need to tell the folks about what you're drinking out of that beautiful beverage that you're drinking.
Oh, yeah. So
one last beer review for old times.
Yeah, here we go. This is Brewery Bavana. It's called Schism. It's a Fodor fermented wild ale. It's beer. It's tart. It's good. Back to you, Mike. And you can get it at some local bottle shop. And I say that, you know, jokingly, dismissively, and I'm going to use this opportunity to blend into my thank yous, if you don't mind.
Please do.
Definitely want to thank the sponsors that we've had. Bottle Mix for hopping on early, and I want to thank Dustin Boudreau, who was the beer manager there for years and listened to this podcast, and he now lives out of state but is still a huge Canes fan.
and Bruce and Ellen and all the people at Bottle Mix for supporting this podcast.
At bottlemix.com with two X's.
That's right.
Where could you find Bottle Mix again, Derek?
They're on Creedmoor Road, north of Crabtree by a few miles, south of 540 by about a mile, behind Briggs.
Behind the Wendy's and the Dunkin' Donuts back there in the corner where the gym is.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
back there.
Yeah.
And where it says no gym parking, that means yes, Bottle Mix parking.
Yes, it does.
Thank you to them for being part of the show for so many years. Thank you to our original sponsor, Taxi Taxi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when it was 919 and just pressed 3 till somebody picks your drunk ass up.
Yep.
That's right, Taxi Taxi. Thank you to Dawn for sponsoring this podcast.
Dawn from Fathom Realty. She is the original at @Kaniac_Realtor. Again, one of those things where we talk about how hockey friends can become family. I'm going, my son and her son are nearly best of friends at this point. And, Dawn is continuing to do everything that she's doing in the realty market. And, thank you, Dawn from Fathom Realty, because it's home.com. She's been great to us over the years and, we can't say thank you enough to her.
Yeah. Also folks who have helped out at Tailgates in New Belgium, who signed on this year as a sponsor, and then things kind of changed. Thank you to New Belgium. Thank you to Chris Allen, who is a hell of a sports fan, whether you're a Canes fan, a Carolina Panthers fan, whatever.
Can I just say on behalf of Chris Allen, fuck Kyle Allen and everything you stand for.
I'm good with that. That's two F-bobs this show. Respect.
Yes.
They've been awesome. New Belgium is awesome. Drink their beer. It's good beer. The folks at Papa Murphy's, who have provided a lot of pizzas at tailgates, the folks at Johnny's Pizza, who have brought pizza and wings, the folks at Donato's, who have brought tons of pizza to tailgates. Thank all of you for your support of this podcast, your support of Canes fans, and your support of tailgates and the fun that we can have before a Canes game.
Yeah, and for taking care of all of not only our drunk asses, but our 400 to 600 friends who show up for tailgates and just need a beverage. And you know, Derek, as we kind of go through this list of thanks yous, I'd like to thank the unseen 328 folks, all of those folks who are at the tailgates, and I'm not going to name them by name, but you know who you are, who are always bringing tables and have an extra cooler and have a few cases of water and maybe have some extra food. All of those folks, when you show up to a 328 tailgate and you look and there's 10, there's 6 tents and there's 12 tables and it's filled full of chips and food and beer and drinks and mixers, that's not just sponsors and that's just not Derek and I and a few other folks. That's a whole lot of folks who have started out just tailgating in the general vicinity of us and have really kind of joined into this community, and there's way too many of them to recognize and accidentally leave any of them out. So we just like to say thank you to all of those who we tailgate with, whether it be a cooler or a table or a tent or a fork or a napkin or a lighter or any of those folks who happen to hang out in the East lot. We know when you started tailgating there, you may not have bought into a 600 people deep tailgate and having other folks drink the beer and maybe have some of the food, but we all willingly shared because we all came together as a community, and this community has been very special to me. It's been very special to us, and I can't say just how important it's been to my life. So I mean, to all of those people, thank you again. As you mentioned, yeah, to the sponsors, we can't say thank you enough. Those folks have kept this thing above bar and made it so that way Derek and I weren't in a four-figure hole every year trying to figure out this podcast. But most importantly, you know, the Patreon folks, as Derek mentioned, were hugely helpful and kind of keeping this thing off the ground. And I mean, and to those of you who have listened, I mean, whether you've listened once and whether this is your first podcast and, you know, thank you for listening, or whether you've listened to every single one since Derek and I started, this has been a journey for us. We still don't know what the hell we're doing, as is obvious by this podcast tonight. But I tell you what, it hasn't been for a lack of heart, hadn't been for a lack of effort, hadn't been for a lack of love. And we hope that that's come through the mics, because it's been a good journey. And I, for one, am going to miss it.
It's been a hell of a lot of fun, man.
Let's do it. All right, guys, this is it. So, formerly a proud member of the Sports Channel 8 family. that was one of the people that we did miss. Thank you to Hayes and that whole team as well. Their success smells fantastic. The one last person, I would be remiss if I didn't thank the person who was running our Facebook page, which is very different than our Twitter page. and that's because it is the kindler, gentler side of me. My beautiful bride for the last 7 years has given me hours every single week to do this, who has allowed me to sit and ignore her during a game while I'm talking to 7,000 people on Twitter, writing up biblical blasphemes to try to make one person laugh. So thank you to Raleigh Monkey, who is my everything and has done great. Thank you to my podcast partner. Thank you to you, Derek Wrestler, because this has been fun. And thank you to you guys. We love you. Until then.
I got nothing else.
Yeah. Until then, my name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.